All right, we ask you to please remain standing for the river. I think some of you may know this. It's a very popular song. So if you know it, we ask you, we invite you to sing along. If you don't know it, we ask you to invite you to sing along anyway. So make a joyful noise.
Well, I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, leading your soul. I know a place where mercy flows, take the stains, make you whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes you come alive. Living water that brings an echo life.
Okay, just my favorite song. So, our scripture lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 22. And please note that when we recite the Apostles' Creed, we're going to use the translation as it is on 137. The more recent translation we'll be using. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 22. Prepare your hearts for the reading of God's holy word. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? There ends the reading of God's holy word. May the Lord give his blessing to the reading and the hearing of it.
The children join me this morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Now, I have a story that I want to share with you guys today. And it's here in this book, but unfortunately, the book's a little too long. So I'm going to try to sum it up a little bit shorter. I'll still show you guys the pictures and everything, though. You see here, you have a little boy walking through the church, and his name is Jim. And he's very sad right now. Well, he's sad because there's kids in his class, in his Sunday school class, who pick on him because he's really small. Is anybody smaller than a lot of the other people in their Sunday school class? You guys are? Yeah. Well, that's very good. I'm glad you don't pick on people. And so his older sister, Kendra, came in, and she was trying to comfort Jim and try to make him feel better. And so she came up with an idea, and she decided that they had the communion stuff. This was all after church. Everybody else had already taken communion, and it was up front, kind of like ours is today. And she said that they could go up and take communion. But Jim thought, you know, that's not for us. That's for older and bigger people. We're still too little to do that. But Kendra said that Jesus loves even the littlest children, and he always had children with him. And so they decided, you know what? Yeah, we will go up and we'll have communion together, just him and his sister after the service. And so they said the words just like Pastor Sonny often or usually says before we take communion. And they had communion together, just the two of them. And then one of the older ladies from the church came in, and she saw that they had taken communion, and she wasn't too happy about that. She wasn't sure why they had taken communion, and she just wasn't sure how she felt about them doing that. And she said that they were too little to have communion, just like Jim had said before. But Jim replied, I may be little, but in God's eyes, I'm really, really big. And so then their mother came along, and they told Mrs. Smoot was the lady's name, and she told their mother what happened, and she wasn't sure how she felt either. And then the pastor came in, and they told him as well. And you know what? The pastor was pretty okay with it. He said, there's nothing wrong with children having communion, but it is something that should be talked about. And it's something that the parents need to talk with their children about and even with the pastors about. And so that's basically where the story ends. And they went out and they decided that they were going to talk about it and try to decide how their church was going to handle children taking communion. And so, what's up? I did read the pictures, yeah. I don't like the words any more than you guys do. I just like the pictures myself. So, anyway, they decided that they were going to talk about it. And I know probably a lot of you have never taken communion before, but today is Worldwide Communion Day. And there's people all over the world who are sharing in communion. There's people in Europe and Africa and Asia who are ahead of us today, and they already took communion. And there's people around the country that are going to be taking communion later than us because we have a pretty early service. And but as far as kids taking communion, it's definitely a very important thing and something that you guys need to understand what it's all about. And so that's something that you guys need to talk with your parents about. You can talk with me or Pastor Sonny or Pastor Mark about it at some point. But it's definitely something that you guys just should understand and decide with your parents whether you're ready to take communion or not. So that's up for you guys to decide. So let's bow our heads and pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for a chance to come together and share in communion with you and with the entire church around the world today, Lord. We just pray right now that you help us to figure out what communion really means and help us to truly understand the importance of it for our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Are you going to help pass it out? Thank you.
You know, the famous Dr. D. James Kennedy, when he was the senior minister of the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Florida, he read a position paper from a national convention of sociologists. Now, the conclusion that they had come to was one that Dr. Kennedy considered noteworthy. Now, they said most of the problems, the troubles, the anxieties, and the turmoil that plague our society are due to, now remember, these are not Christian people, okay? They are secular sociologists meeting at a national convention, okay? And they said that most of the turmoil and the troubles, anxieties, and problems that plague our society are due to a lack of communion. Now, Dr. Kennedy continued his thought by saying they didn't say communication, because surely we have an abundance of that. In fact, he said, there's been more communication in this generation than probably all preceding generations combined. I mean, this is the age of communication, right? It wasn't a lack of communication, these secular sociologists said. They said it was a lack of communion. Now, communication, we all know what that is. It's kind of the transfer of ideas and facts. Communion is something a whole lot different. It's the mutual sharing of values and emotions and the deepest purposes of our lives. It's sharing our very lives. That's communion. And that's what these secular sociologists said that we don't have enough of in our society. A lack of communion in our homes and in our schools, in our culture, our organizations, even in our churches. And they said that lack of communion is causing many people to have deviant behavior. Well, we wondered why, right? And according to the sociologists, those things are causing many of today's problems. Today is Worldwide Communion Sunday. Now, this special day was given many years ago as a way to get a divided Christian community to come together and to have greater unity by communing on the same day. It was an attempt to get the Christian community to focus on those things that unite us instead of those things that divide us. Protestant Christians all over this country and the world, regardless of their theological stand or their geographical location, will be assembled this morning, or did in their morning, or will later in their morning, to share this observance that binds us all together. Now, in the world in which we live, there just isn't much communion. And that includes the church. We have arrogantly tried to run things with our human hands and our human words and our human efforts. Yet God's word says that if we truly want to be united, we have to put all things in God's hands. Now, God wants human hands to participate. Sure, we all know how that works. But his perfect plan is not accomplished until he is in charge and we relinquish control to him. Now, the old hymn that Johnny had us sing in a couple of weeks ago says it best. We don't sing it very often. I was really excited that Johnny picked it. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Now, I have to tell you, though, I do believe that one of the single greatest threats to the Christian community in our country is fierce individualism. My goodness, we are fierce individualists. You know, even Christians, you know, we want what we want when we want it. And we just kind of think, well, you know what? Relationships are messy. Relationships are time consuming. I am busy. I'm sorry, I just do not have the time. And we think, many of us, you know what? It's just too hard. It's just too hard. Not realizing how important those relationships are to our own personal well-being. I've had many, many seminarians sit under my ministry. And the one advice that I always give them, a parting shot, is when you are so, so busy that you don't know which way to turn, always, always pick the relationship thing first, because that's what God wants. And when you pick the relationship thing first, God will make all of those other things fall in place. I have never found that to not be true. And I haven't gotten any ugly phone calls from any of the seminarians who now serve churches. But think for a minute in your own life. When was the last time you invited a neighbor in for a cup of coffee or tea? We have a neighbor that keeps their horse at our house, and she walks by the house twice a day to care for that horse. And you know, sometimes I just think I need to go, the wonderful Christian people need to go out, invite her in for a cup of tea, knowing that my morning is shot. That's it. The morning is gone. But it is so worth it for my mental health. And I would hope that you would set aside some time like that as well. When is the last time you had lunch with a Christian friend? You need to ask yourself those questions. Have you made time? Your mental health depends on it. It seems like we are each so very different and unique. And we just want to go our own ways. And we want to do our own thing. And we don't want to take the time to include anybody else in that. And we are just so busy with our own agendas, our own family, and our work. And the problem is that our busyness with our individual lives, we just become isolated from one another. That spills over into the church. Many people prefer for the only time for them to see their brothers and sisters in Christ to be on a Sunday morning. How can we stay connected that way? And you know, one of my favorite holidays is Thanksgiving. It's like one of the only holidays that's still what it was originally made to do. I love Thanksgiving. Now, growing up, I even, you know, and I don't have the best memories of my childhood, but I have good memories of Thanksgiving. But I got to tell you what I didn't like, and that was when I had to sit at the kids' table. Now, everybody knows about the kids' table, right? Do I have to explain that? I'll explain it to the internationals later, but okay, kids' table. It's the pits to be stuck at the kids' table, okay? I made a promise to myself that when I got older and I was an adult and I was having Thanksgiving, that I would never, ever, ever have a kids' table, ever. I remember one Thanksgiving, John had to put two pieces of plywood together to make a table big enough for all of us to sit around one table. I even made a special tablecloth, and it actually stretched two pieces of plywood. The table was huge. Now that sounds real nice, right? Ah, isn't that nice? Do you know how hard it is to pass food around a table that large? It was really, really challenging to keep everything within reach. You know, I mean, there was just like a lot of standing up and walking around the table going on, you know, but we did it. Do you know that that was one of the very best Thanksgivings that we ever had? Now today, not only with this meal that we are going to share, but in our lives, let each one of us make the decision to share a part of ourselves with our Christian brothers and sisters. Now today, not only with this meal, but in our lives, let's each one of us make the conscious decision to commune with each other. Because if we never thought about it before, today is the day that we remember that God's table is big enough to seat us all. Amen.